boondoggle.
Boondoggle?
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? I suggest you get your butt up. Come find out February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people, and then there's a bunch of kayakers too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark Delaney Pooh Wheeler, and welcome. It is the eve of Turkey Day. Hopefully you've got your Thunder Chicken sitting in the fridge, getting ready to be basted in his natural juices. And I hope everyone that is traveling and listening or listening later, I hope you make it to your destination safely. I hope you enjoy your time there with family and friends, because that is what Thanksgiving is all about, giving thanks to family, to those that have passed, to what is coming in the future, and just to enjoy what we have in this wonderful country that we live in. All right. With that being said, no one's called in. We got a couple of guests in the chat room. Welcome, guests. Pretty simple stuff. My household's going to be enjoying a nice fat turkey on Friday, actually. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow is a day that we're going to go and take care of some military members that are away from home and can't get home. I did this all the time when I was in the Marine Corps, get a bunch of the guys in the unit that are stuck at home or stuck in the barracks or whatever, send them half heat chow hall food, get them over to our house and, pack them in, and everyone gets a little bit of turkey and, camaraderie, and it's a good time. So that's my plan for tomorrow. And then Friday is the day that I get to sit down with my family and enjoy the plentiful harvest that we do have. And that's what it's all about, folks. All right. So after the turkey, there's something you need to think about, because it's less than 90 days away. And what is that I'm talking about? I'm talking about this.
Boondoggle, boondoggle. Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Oh, okay. Yes, folks, it is that time of the year again. It is that time. The monster stripers are here. As I talked about on the Thursday night show with Chip, I was able to get out in that blow we were having on a buddy's boat. We got into some really nice stripers. The biggest one was, I think, was like 41, 42, 43 inches. Didn't really notice. Put those big ones back. Actually, were the first of the year. They were kind of thin. But, they're here. I had a gentleman give me a call today. He had a couple of nice big ones. Still thin, but they're almost citation size, and that's what it's all about. Fishing along the eastern shore there. It's blocked off from this northeast wind, which is definitely a good thing. So let's talk about that. Friday is Black Friday, as everyone knows. I'm actually going to pull up the weather right now. And let's see here. Fish weather. If you don't know what fish weather is a great site to get a pretty darn accurate wind forecast. Pulling up Kip to Peak. It's 5 miles an hour right now, actually, which is pretty good. And Friday's great. Wow. Light winds coming out of southwest. out of the south, actually picking up in the evening. And then Saturday, blowing out of the northwest. Wow, that's really going to chill things down. That's really going to put the bite on. But making that area pretty much unfishable. Same thing with Sunday. Monday, though, wow, we got a little southeast breeze, less than starting off at 10 knots by 4 a.m. and dropping off only to 4 knots by 7 p.m., which is a pretty good 12-hour shift from out of the west to the southwest. As many of you know, pretty much you can fish Chesapeake on an easterly blowing 15 and really not have any issues unless you're going out a little farther in the bay. But around the famed concrete ships will be protected and comfortable, for that matter, for a kayaker. So it's that time for the eels to be busted out. Wish I get Kayak Kevin on here. Talk about it more because he is the concrete ship master, the Chesapeake master. I think he's got a house over there now. He spends so much time. We got something moving in here on Wednesday. Looking at the weather coming out of the south and actually more out of the west than anything, almost 30 knots. That's going to blow a lot of stuff out. But yeah, Friday, if you wanted to get out there and do a little bit of eeling, you definitely could. Light variable winds in the morning, picking up in the evening. Saturday, I would not recommend it. Almost 20-knot winds coming out of the northwest. There is no break. There is no barrier. And will make things very uncomfortable. The only day that I could see you probably do it out of a kayak would be Monday. Again, west-southwest winds kind of make things difficult. But, if you can get out there, fish the concrete ships, what you looking to do? Okay, I'm not an expert, but pretty darn, I spent enough time out there to know how the basis of it works. Is there are several ships stacked up out there. If you're looking to do it from the ships, you don't have to, but, you know, it makes it easier. Let me paint you a picture, okay? We'll start with the south and move our way north, okay, from the boat ramp. You get to the boat ramp, it's on the edge of this little point, I guess best way to put it. Large earthen pier, okay? If you look to the south, towards the high-rise bridge, which is part of the Bay Bridge Tunnel, you can see pound nets, okay? Most of the time they have the nets pulled by then. I think they're old, actually, because I think they're way too close. But that's one area you can fish, is around those pound nets. There are a lot of snags there, so do be careful. A lot of old ropeage and cordage there. We got a guest in the chat room. Captain Sean, what's going on, man? Happy Thanksgiving to you. But the stripers will get around there because that holds a lot of bait. It's a break in the water. That is one spot. Coming up, if you turn a little bit more, you're going to see the concrete ships. This is the first thing you'll see when you drive up. Now, for that area, what you're looking for is everyone kind of knows, is around the breaks between the stern and bow of those ships. Depending which way the current's running, the big ones are going to be sitting in the lee side of the current. So, meaning if it's breaking around the stern, okay, there's going to be that little eddy right there. Paddle in there. You know, grab a hold of the ship, do whatever, bounce against it. But your bait is going to – you want to keep that bait in that slower current. So stripers are going to be pinned up against the ship and basically waiting for that eel to come by. Okay? And you're basically just going to, you know, ring the dinner bell, put it on their doorstep, and wait for them to come up and get it. Another thing is that, you know, that's one area. Fishing the current sometimes, because you don't know what's really underneath the water. There might be a chunk of that concrete ship sitting underneath the water, just creating enough of a hole that he'll be sitting inside there. So that whole area is productive. Along the same sense is you could run the side of the ships and, you know, you never know where there's a hole where there's a striper sitting. So, you know, don't just focus on them, you know, slide up. What I usually do is pedal against the current, okay? And I really like an incoming to start off with. Reason is that's going to, I'm going to start south around the pylons, unless there's like 15 or 20 guys there, then I'm going to start the ships and work one side of the ships, okay? Depending on the winds, I might work the outside of the ship. And there's two sets of groupings of ships. You have the inside set, which are the ones farther south. Then you have the northern set, which are a little bit farther out, probably another, let's say, 150 yards from the stern of the first grouping on the southern group. So if I'm running it, I'm bouncing outside, spend some time at those major junctions, the choke points. And then once you get to the end there, work the stern of that end of that ship, and then let the current kind of pull me out. And a couple paddle strokes, you know, I'm back to the next grouping. Fish around them. And if I'm taking my time, I should, you know, this is spending a good amount of time at the ships. And I remember that. And when I do this, I do this hard. I pack a lunch, the whole kit and caboodle. you know, just kind of bounce around there, do my thing. And then when the current changes, I'll come back around and actually use it to push me back towards the southern ships and the pylons. And that's the whole goal, is to work those edges and you know, work both sides as much as possible. If I have a current that's not really running very hard, then I'll just, you know, do a full 360 around each ship, you know, once or twice, you know, however I see fit. Now, that's being said, if I've got guys fishing the northern ships, I'm on the southern ships, and I'm just not getting bit. And there's the group on the northern ones, they're getting bites left and right. Then I'll move up there, but I won't go against the ships. What'll happen is stripers are especially the big ones, are very skittish. And they, when there's a lot of commotion, stuff like that, they'll break away from the structure. They'll actually move away from it, okay? At the same time, that's the same thing that the bait's doing. The bait's moving away from the ships. There's a lot of commotion, a lot of hooting and hollering and splashing. and stuff like that. So when you see this, a lot of people catching, you don't have to sit right next to them or sit on the ships. Back off from them a little bit. You'd be surprised that they'll back away. Or, you know, if you're next to your buddy and he hooks up, don't bring yours in right away, you know, because these big stripers sit in 2 to 3 fish pods. That's how they work together. Because they don't get big like this by being stupid, okay? These are very intelligent fish in the sense that you literally have a 20 to 30 minute window where those fish will eat, okay? Will really work on what they're eating, okay? And, you know, tides, moon phases, wind, weather, light. Okay, there's a reason why a lot of us fish at night for these big hosses. Granted, you can catch them during the day. But at night, and I'm sorry, Sean, it's hard for me to type and talk at the same time. But sitting there and, you know, they don't like daylight. Okay, reason is because they can be seen. If they can be seen, they can be eaten. Okay, and yes, there are things in the water that can eat a big striper. Sharks are one thing. A pod of bluefish will ransack them. You know, little things like that. Dolphin will eat a striper, a big striper at that. You know, so they'll hunker down, they'll move around a little bit during the daytime, but they're not really feeding. Because they have to exert a lot of energy because the big fish can also see them as well. Okay? Really not useful to them. Granted, they will eat if the opportunity presents itself, but 9 times out of 10, they would prefer to eat at night. Now, it's nighttime. This is when I do so much of my concrete ship healing. And going, have you caught any? Yes, I've caught a few. Nothing huge, but I still have caught them. And, I'm taking knowledge from Montauk, from Jersey Shore, from up in the Northeast, not just down here. And there's a reason why all the charter captains and headboat captains do a lot of their night or the striper fishing at night for big fish. Okay, you're not going to catch a lot of them, but, quality over quantity. So anyway, that's what I was getting at. They'll really feed heavily at night. Okay? Why? Because now they become less of a attack fish. Okay? That makes any sense? They're not going to be like the youngins. Okay? The youngins, the schoolies we're all used to, are very aggressive. They're just about in chase after a bait. The biggins, okay, won't do that. They are more designed like a grouper, or grouper is the best way to explain it. Sitting in a hole, bait comes by, he comes out, eats it, gets back in the hole. That's basically what these big girls are doing, okay? So, at night is perfect. They get in the shadows, sit there, make a wait for it to come by, reach out and grab it. That's what you're feeling when, Kevin talks about that zip-zip, okay? The striper's not going far, okay? It's reaching out, eating it, and that zip-zip is that suction that they create for that big maw of theirs, that roar, okay? And they do it twice. They go, whoa. They get it in there, they feel it, they do it again to make sure they get it back in those big pincers they have in the back of their head, to get it secured, okay? If you let them sit there for a second, you actually start hearing it go, wee. Sorry. Kevin Sean's a guide out of Tampa Bay. Sorry, we're going to break again from this. Because it's just pretty cool. I got a Tampa Bay Mission Fishing Charters. Anything he can do, you can call him at 352-428-7212 or go to www.missionfishingcharters.com. All right. Happy Thanksgiving, bud. So there you go. Anyway, that zip-zip, if you let it go and they don't feel the hook, they might take off. Okay? Most of the time, those big girls feel that. They know an eel doesn't have metal, and they'll spit it out. But if they don't feel it, you actually hear that zip-zip, and you hear a very slow brrrr as they slowly and conservatively slide back in their hole. Okay? You're going to get them out of there? Most likely not. So that's why you hear everyone, once they hear that zip-zip, they're hammering them. Okay, pretty simple, pretty simple stuff there. So, you hook into them, what now? What I find I do most of the time is I'll take my paddle and I'll push away from the ship, okay? And this is where fishing those lee sides or those current breaks are really helpful. So what I'll do is I'll push off until I hit that current, let the current pull me away. I'll use a little heavier drag, okay? And remember, we're using heavy gear here, folks. Medium heavy to heavy rods. I actually prefer a good heavy rod for this. I use 80-pound braid, okay? These are really big, really strong fish. There's barnacles, okay? Barnacles on 80-pound braid, you'll be sitting there all of a sudden, and it's gone, okay? I don't care what it is. you know, anything less than a 100-pound braid or even 100-pound braid. But when braid touches the sharp edge of a barnacle under stress, yes, it is abrasion resistant, but it's like putting a pair of scissors to the dang thing, and it's gone. Okay? So heavy-duty 80-pound braid is the lowest I'll go, along with 80-pound leader. And I use about 2 to 3 foot of 80-pound leader. I find that's comfortable for me. It doesn't beat up my hands too bad when I go to wrap the leader. And that 2 to 3 foot, if I do a 2.5 foot, so I use mono. At night, they don't really see the mono as well. During the day, I'll go to fluorocarbon, but at night, mono, 80-pound mono, snelled on the hook, nail knotted to the swivel, okay? But if it's mono, and I have 2.5 feet worth, and the stuff I use is the Seaguar leader material. It has a lot of stretch to it, which I like, and I'll explain why I like that. What show should you be listening to? We're talking about stripers right now. But that's got a lot of stretch to it, okay? And I'll actually go from 2.5 feet to 2 feet 6 inches to 2 feet 10, 2 feet 11, because of that stretch, especially if it's a big fish. Why do I like that? Okay. Reason is this: is that when I set the hook, right? When I set the hook, okay, and when I use J hooks for this, when I set the hook, I'm taking the tip of the rod from the water line, and I'm bringing up as far and as hard and as high as I can, okay, for two reasons. One, I'm trying to jab that hook into that bony head of theirs, okay, as hard as I can, thunk, okay. Next thing is I'm trying to remove some of the stretch immediately. Okay. Thirdly, by lifting the rod high with one, with both hands, once I get it high, I'll crank down, keeping it as tight as possible. Okay, on the crank down. This way, my second pull removes the rest of the stretch. Okay. At the same time, I'm lifting up. I lift my left arm. Lift my left arm with my right arm, take my paddle, I'm pushing away from the ships. Okay? Simple as that. Then I'll fight the fish from there. Nice thing about that stretch, too, is that it'll keep pressure on the hook even if I lose pressure on the rod, if that makes any sense. Think of it like a spring, okay? Even when the spring isn't fully compressed or fully stretched, there's still some tension, and that's all I'm looking for, okay, is that little bit of give, okay? I mean, truth be honest, I don't really pump all that much on my stripers. Reason is, when you pump them like that, you work a nice little hole in that lip, especially if you get them in that membrane, because it's, you know, tension and no tension, tension and no tension, tension and no tension, and then eventually it'll make a big hole in that lip. And you'll lose them. They'll shake their head, you get that right angle, and it's gone. So, simple as that. Get them up next to the kayak, and kayakheaven.com, great site. You've got a great tip in there on leg sweeping your fish in. Watch that. I can't really explain it. Basically, you're going to wrap the leader in one hand, reach it in the maw, in the fish's mouth, lip them, grip them, grab a gill. If you're going to keep them, please. If you're not going to keep them, grab them by the mouth. Throw your leg over the side and bring the fish around your foot. And from your foot, just lift straight up like you're using a ramp, okay? Once you get, for me, once I get the head past my knee, that head is basically in the kayak. So when I'll just lean a little bit to my, because I do it on my right side. I'll lean to the left a little bit, flick my leg over, and drop them right in. Kind of counterbalancing this new weight in the kayak. And that's basically how I do it. From there, I just drop my leg over top of them, and you know, because they will flop a couple of times. From there, I can either keep them or release them. If I'm releasing, quick picture, good revive, and back in the water. Luckily, you know, there's a high oxygen content in these colder waters, which is a very big positive. But, yeah, simple as that. Revive them, send them away. If I'm going to take them home, you can only keep one of these big girls a day. Throw her in the back. I'm happy. And I will treat her right. Start bleeding her out almost immediately. I paddle back in. It's a good 152, 300-yard paddle, depending on where you're at. Nice and slow. Fish dragging behind. It's going to be a little work, but it'll be worth it. Get her in. She should already be pretty much bled out. Get my trophy shots on the landing there. And throw her in a cooler. Go on home. Simple as that. Easy peasy. All right. So we have Captain Sean. Welcome again, bud. First time caller, long time listener, I guess. Or first time listener, long time caller, whatever you want to call it. I'm actually about ready to get my turkey ready. I know other people are probably listening in and spending time with their family. We'll end the show with that. But you know what? I gotta say this again.
Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
That's right, boondoggle. February, for President's Day weekend in February at Cars Park. I'm losing my mind about it. It's going to be great. But it's going to be a great time. With that, we're going to call it a night. I'd like to thank everyone that showed up, Captain Sean, the guests that were here. I know everyone's traveling, so I usually don't have a great show on Wednesdays, but for Wednesday night, Thursday Thanksgiving show. But that's fine. Tell your friends, tell your family. And I'd just like to say thank you to Jackson Kayak, one of my sponsors. Awesome kayak, excuse me. Brand, people, the whole caboodle. Robson Paddles and Jackson Kayak Paddles. Mustad and everyone that's away from home. Deployed during Thanksgiving. I know what that's like, and hope you get to enjoy it. Everyone's thinking about you, and prayers have been sent. All right. With that being said, let's say goodnight. Have a wonderful, safe Thanksgiving weekend in your travels, if you're staying home, whatever. Please be careful. Enjoy yourselves. Go Jets. And take a kid fishing, always wear your PFD, and always have a good time. All right, everybody, have a great night. See you next weekend.